The reviews are in, and we're going to tell you what they are. He's Todd Vandenberg. I'm Rob Steele, and we're going to start with something absolutely asinine. Actually, we've got several things that are asinine, including the existence of a Troop Beverly Hills sequel. And quite honestly, that is all I've got on it. I didn't want to look up anything else.
Jesus, no.
Yeah, I don't know why we need that. And it's not a reboot. It's a sequel. So they're finally doing sequels instead of just rebooting, but really? That movie? Anyway, do you remember a Utah-based video censorship group called VidAngel?
Vaguely, I do, yes.
Yeah, they're the ones that put black boxes and changed words on videos and released them all as family-friendly versions. Well, they got sued because, you know, you're not supposed to do that to movies.
Yeah, when you don't own the rights to them, you can't just change them and sell them as your own. Not a good thing.
Now they have to pay almost $10 million in an out-of-court settlement.
Yeah, what a shame.
But this leads into the money thing. And this was just weird. Because we had the two New Mutants and Bill and Ted came out last week. And I thought, you know what? I want to see how they did at the box office. Because I was curious. So I looked this up. On Monday morning on IMDb, and it said that the number one movie at the box office was The New Mutants with $7 million, which is would have been great at the time when The New Mutants book came out.
Right.
Number two was Unhinged at 2.6. SpongeBob is still hanging around at 0.6. Number four was The Personal History of David Copperfield at $500,000. And Words on Bathroom Walls at $500,000. For more results, see boxofficemojo.com, which is part of IMDb now. And I went, well, all right, let's see what they have there. They had New Mutants at number one at $7 million. That's the same. Yay. Number two is David Copperfield, which now no longer made $500,000. It's made $5 million. Pardon? Number three is the Bathroom Walls thing, which somehow doubled between the two things I looked at. It's now made $1 million. Number four, SpongeBob, which made $2 million, which is more than the $1 million at number three. Does someone not know how to do math anymore? That's what I'm getting out of that. Unhinged wasn't even listed. And I thought, you know, strange things are afoot at the Circle K because Bill and Ted didn't make the list.
There's some kind of glitches going on, perhaps. That seems rather odd, doesn't it?
It's very weird. I did not get that at all. So, actually, that leads into something else we didn't get. The movie Mulan, which is coming to Disney Plus, if you pay an extra $30 fee on top of your Disney Plus subscription. Well, that didn't make sense to us because you just subscribed to this to pay more money for your subscription and whatever. Well, it turns out that if you wait until December, you don't have to pay the $30 extra fee.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter. I'm reviewing it next week because my wife went, we're watching it. Okay, fine. I did think it was interesting, though, that there's a Chinese company called New Studio Media that released a movie called Matchless Mulan, which is pretty much the exact same movie, just done with different actors and budgets and stuff. So, gee, I wonder how this movie will do in China.
Yeah, really.
My feeling is it won't do in China at all, actually. Which is sad. But good news for Disney Plus, I suppose. October 30th, The Mandalorian Season 2 begins.
Which will be nice.
I'm looking forward to it.
Which will hopefully be excellent, actually. Nice is understating it.
I don't know. The Baby Yoda is always nice. Unless, you know, he's provoked, I guess. I don't know.
Then he's less than nice. Which is good.
Let's see. Movie news. Well, actually, movie and TV news from the DC Comics universe. You know how their TV shows on the CW are called the Arrowverse?
I do.
And how Arrow has been canceled. Actually, I don't think it was canceled. I think it just ended.
Yeah, I think they just wrapped it.
They have decided to rename the Arrowverse. It is now the CW-verse.
That trips off the tongue, doesn't it?
It does, but it admittedly, it does make more sense.
It does, but makes me think of the country western verse, which is like, yeah.
No. Don't give them any ideas. That's going to be at least 3 episodes of Legends of Tomorrow right there.
Yeah, no doubt.
We got to go save Willie Nelson. Oh, geez, don't do that. let's see. I was trying to figure out a way to throw this in, and this seems as good a time as any. Major League Baseball's trade deadline passed this past week, and on August 27th, the Tampa Bay Rays acquired outfielder Brett Phillips from the Kansas City Royals for shortstop Lucius Fox.
Interesting. So, who knew he had such talents?
For those of you wondering where the guy who makes Batman's gadgets has disappeared, he's hiding in the Kansas City Royals farm system. Which gives him something to do since they're not, they have not restarted shooting the Batman movie with Robert Pattinson because he's got COVID-19.
Yeah. How fun. How fun that this worldwide hoax isn't really affecting anybody, right?
Oh, yeah. No one at all whatsoever. But that does lead into, I suppose, DC Fandom 2, which is going to be happening this coming weekend. And I have no idea what they're going to have in it because they put all their trailers and video gameplay and TV show interviews and all that stuff into the last one. So I have no idea what's going to be in this one.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a little more in-depth type stuff. I have to say, we're not major fans of all the trailers that they showed before. For more details, go to the last show. But I do like the way they're creating this. I think it's kind of odd that we're not going to do Comic-Con. We're going to do our own thing. Whatever. But I do like the way they've set it up where the first time around, it was just all panel is all live. This time, it's a menu on their website, and you can pick and choose what you want to watch. But again, it's one day. But it's all, nothing is live. It's all pre-recorded, pre-packaged, ready, and you can just pick and choose what you want instead of this is what's on now. So I think it's pretty innovative the way they're setting it up. We'll see, you know, what kind of details they give on this next one. Be interesting.
Well, if you do want a live panel on the same day, they're going to be doing a Star Trek day. And I'm still trying to figure out exactly where it's supposed to be. I know it's in association with the CBS streaming stuff. But it could be on the Paramount site. Go to StarTrek.com. I'm sure they'll have details eventually. But they're going to have live panels with Patrick Stewart and Kate Mulgrew and George Takei, Scott Bakula. Lots of other people, I'm sure, are going to show up. Although, I did find it amusing that on the announcement day, Marina Sirtis tweeted, "Why have I not been made aware of this?"
That seems like an oversight.
I think so.
That's odd.
I'm just throwing that out. You know, maybe she does know about it and is just teasing us. I don't know. But let's see. I'm actually going to deviate a little bit from movie and TV stuff, although it does have to do with a TV in that it would help that you had one for this. Because there's a couple, two video game, actually, I guess 3 video game things that popped up this week. Yeah, because we do entertainment, and this is entertainment, and this is, I think, a nifty future of entertainment thing going on. Did you see what Mario Kart is doing with their latest release?
I did not.
I think this, part of me thinks it's brilliant, part of me thinks it's going to burn out real quick. But when you buy the new version of Mario Kart for your Nintendo Switch, it comes with, I believe, 2... at least one, but I think 2 actual remote-controlled cars. One looks like Mario in a cart. One looks like Luigi in a cart.
Interesting.
These are controlled with your Nintendo Switch controllers. And you set up your own racetrack for the Mario Kart game by driving these cars around your actual house.
That's pretty interesting. That's interesting.
The Switch will then go, okay, that's the track. When you start racing, you are looking through the camera on the car. That's what you see on the screen. Augmented reality stuff will be added in. So when you drive it under the couch, all of a sudden you can go, ooh, Bowser lives under my couch because there's his car. You know, that kind of thing. I think it's a nifty idea, although I'm not, it doesn't say anything about how, you know, if a cat runs by and knocks into the car.
Right. That's a nifty, it is a, I mean, it's a very cool concept. I'm curious how many people will have room in their house.
Yeah.
For an unfettered, I could see it more if it was it that it came with a racetrack and that you could set up. Because I don't know, it'd be interesting. I mean, I'm sure you can take them outside, and a lot of people take them outside, et cetera, because you kind of have to. Cool concept. I'm not sure how well it's going to work in reality, but in virtual reality, but whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's a cool. That is a cool concept. It's all semantics, as someone told me on Facebook, because, you know, I mentioned how it's interesting how certain people are called thugs and others aren't. It's all semantics. It's like, words matter. That's why we have different words like augmented and virtual.
Yep. So I was thinking that would be a game to buy because it's kind of cool. Conversely, consumer advice for you, do not buy Madden 21. I'm not going to go into this into too many details, but if you find the article on CNN, and I'm sure there's a lot of other places to find it, but CNN got a hold of it, so this is obviously bad. There are more glitches in this version than there have been in like the previous 10 combined.
The two
I saw that amused me the most were the Velcro helmet, where a guy apparently caught it with his head and ran it for a touchdown, which is very weird. And the repeated, one of my knees has been blown, so I think I'll just run in a circle glitches.
See, those aren't glitches. Those are bonus features. It's making the game more real.
No. Trust me, the leg doesn't even render correctly. It's a glitch.
The character with the sticky helmet is actually Lester Hayes, and he stuck his hands on his helmet.
There we go.
That seems rather odd. Why, again, that happens a lot when games are released and it's like, oh, we forgot to actually do any quality checks, but really odd for this title. I mean, as you said, 21, been around a while, probably should do a better job of that.
Well, actually, speaking of doing a better job in video games, do you want to talk about the Storm thing?
Yeah, let's talk about the Storm thing. So a new Marvel game is headed our way. Marvel Future Fight. And for some reason, there is a very popular character who looks like a very popular actress, except she shouldn't. Storm, basically.
Of X-Men fame.
Yes, of X-Men fame. Thank you. Basically looks like Charlize Theron spent way too long in the tanning salon. Really looks like her, which is okay, except that Storm is not of that particular racial persuasion, let's say. Maybe they got confused because Miss Theron was born in South Africa. So yeah, she's African, but she's not black. So it's kind of a problematic when you have one of the top tier African characters of all time with very non-African features.
I would like to point out something with this, though, that one of the complaints I saw was she's got blue eyes. She can't have blue eyes.
Yeah, she does have blue eyes.
Here's the catch.
To have blue eyes.
I am staring right now, not at Todd, but at the Marvel Universe Encyclopedia, which explains a lot of everything about just about every Marvel character. And it says right there, her height is 5'11", her weight is 127 pounds, and her eyes are blue.
She's scrawny. It's just as scrawny. She has white hair and blue eyes. That's been established for decades. But that ain't the issue. The issue is nothing about her looks African except for maybe the skin tone, but it really looks more like copper tone. Like, not a good look, Marvel. Really dumb decision.
Maybe they're going for Fremen. They think she's a Fremen.
Maybe. Whatever.
See, that leads right into back to the movie news.
It does.
coming up on the 9th, a trailer for the forthcoming Dune movie, which I think a lot of people are looking forward to.
Indeed.
You know, just on the cast, if nothing else. And that pretty much comes to the end of the news and right into our first review. And I'm going to start off this week with a bit of a teaser.
You're such a tease.
I am. The title of this first movie I'm doing will become very relevant when I review Tenet. That's right, the new big movie of the week. We're finishing the show with that. Don't skip the rest of this. Don't skip to the end. Stick around and listen to, if nothing else, my review of Jackie Chan's wonderful movie, Who Am I? Todd knows where I'm going with this, and very you will nice. See shortly. Basically, I watched this again recently because I think it's a wonderful movie. It's typical Jackie Chan in that it's constant nonstop. Well, okay, it's not constant nonstop. It's very briefly stop. An action movie. It's Jackie Chan and his military group who were hired to steal a meteor fragment that is highly explosive, but they weren't hired by the CIA as they thought. It was an arms dealer who kills Jackie's group and thinks Jackie died, but no, Jackie escaped, but with amnesia, thus the name of the movie. Which is really fun. It's a lot of action, a lot of martial arts stuff, because it's Jackie Chan, hello. But this one has a few things that set it apart from the typical Jackie Chan movie for me. First, I want you to think of a Jackie Chan action scene. It's fast, it's frantic, it has things in it you've never really seen in a fight scene before, or any other kind of scene for that matter. And as a side note, I do know that Jackie did porn, and I don't really want to know how frantic he got in that, or whatever moves he developed in those movies. Let's go back to this. Jackie in Who Am I has a car chase scene. Now, this did have some stuff in it that I have not seen in any other car chase scene. It was like his fight scenes, fast, frantic, and how the hell did you do that? I've never seen that before. You know, I thought that was great. The other thing that set it apart is the ending, which I'm going to spoil a little bit in that Jackie wins. It's a Jackie Chan movie. You know that movie. Not a shock.
Not much of a spoiler, yeah. Watch.
No, what I want to mention is something we've talked about on this show before. There are a lot of movies with a similar plot problem, Tenet. The bad guy has stolen a weapon that could destroy the world. Get Bob. Yeah, you know, in most movies, there are at most two agents who are dispatched to deal with this world-threatening problem. Now, in this movie, we do follow Jackie. But at the end, which is the most satisfying part of this movie for me, we do find out that they really did send everyone. Now, I'm not going to tell you who the bad guy is, so there's a bit of mystery and no spoilers in that area. But the bad guy ends up being surrounded by, it's like 1,000 soldiers and agents and law enforcement officers and several boats and helicopters and a golf cart. I mean, it's like the end of the Blues Brothers, but not quite as silly. Just a, hey, we called everyone and they showed up. Brilliant. Thank you for finally putting the priority on it that you seem to have put on the world's going to end. We should get somebody. It's a great movie. It's a lot of fun. The fight scene on top of the building. I'm not going to tell you where in the movie that is, but that is one of the best fight scenes I've seen in any movie. Unfortunately, there's some bad news for this. Amazon, as of this recording, and it might may change before you get to it, has this movie's DVDs on sale for $56. The Blu-ray is $30, and the VHS is $9.45. All of these prices are listed next to a banner that says, only one left in stock, order soon. Well, which one is the only one that you have left in stock? The DVD, the Blu-ray, or the VHS? It doesn't say. Also, it is not on Amazon Prime, Netflix, Hulu, or any of those other places. I did find a couple of them that say, not available in the United States. So may I recommend a virtual private network, or VPN? And just tell everybody you're in France. Then you can watch the movie. So, That's a thing. Anyway, the name of the movie again, Jackie Chan's Who Am I? And the name of that movie will become relevant when I review Tenet after we talk to Todd and his reviews of what are we going to start with?
Let's start with The Boys. So we talked about The Boys before. This is a series on Amazon or Prime Video or however you want to call it, because it's Prime Video until they rebrand it again. So this came out last year. The reason I'm talking about it now is because the new season just dropped Friday. They're doing something a little different with it this time around. Typically, Amazon, when they drop a series, boom, it's all there. This time, they're just dropping the first three episodes. So the first three are available now. Every Friday, the next episode will come out. So you can kind of binge, and then you got to wait. So the basic setup is, and this is based on a graphic novel or a series of comics, however you want to look at it.
I'll go with very graphic novel.
Yes. Called, oh, guess what? The Boys. I've never read The Boys, so I don't know how closely it adheres to the source material. I don't care because I'm not talking about the source material. I'm talking about this. The premise is really cool. The premise is that they're all these superheroes and they're wonderful and everybody loves them, but they're really bastards. And they're basically owned and created by a corporation. And basically, it's a big business. And it's also a little bit of a fascist regime going on. So yay, super fun. The Boys are the group of just regular folks who are out to take them down because they know they're evil, vicious bastards. Carl Urban plays the leader of The Boys. This might be his best role ever. Carl Urban is excellent, like in everything he does. Think back to the Star Trek reboots where he out DeForest Kelly's DeForest Kelly. How is that even possible? But he does it. And here he's this bloodthirsty Billy Butcher, and he's just an amazing character. So he's just this regular guy who's also a bastard himself, who's out to take down The Boys. At the end of season one, there's kind of a game-changing event, and I'm not going to tell you what it is in case you haven't seen season one, but it changes the whole scope of the series. Season two starts out, we're dealing with the aftermath of that. I'm not going to go into a lot of the plot detail, other than just to tell you that there are a lot of decapitations. There are a lot of exploding heads, which in its own way is something of a decapitation. Super graphic, as Rob said, which is part of the charm of it. Lots of bad language. One of the comments was just like, man, this is what I've been waiting for because I've been overdosing on, you know, the Marvel and the DC movies. And this is the antithesis, and it is. Yet the effects are terrific. It's not cheaply done by any means. It doesn't look like it. The acting is excellent. Again, Carl Urban is absolutely fantastic. Anthony Starr, by the way, plays Homelander. He is the big bad. Actually, although he's basically a combination of Captain America and the big blue Boy Scout, you know, that super guy from DC. He is excellent. Absolutely excellent. There's news, not news, not rumors, because he just said it, that he would love to be in the Marvel Universe. That would be very cool. Although the guy he looks like to me, he looks like a U.S. agent, which he's not going to be playing U.S. agent because that role's already been cast. Everybody in the show is so good. And basically the guy you're supposed to root for is played by Jack Quaid, who, interestingly, he's the scion of the Quaid family of actors. He is really ordinary looking, which really helps because he's supposed to be an everyman. He's just supposed to be a guy who's just kind of hanging on. And again, he is really great performances. So you're following, you're rooting for the terrorists because they are terrorists, basically. They're trying to kill the Supes. And you're not supposed to root for the Supes, and you won't. But I just love how this series completely turns it on its head. It has amazing set pieces where, for instance, they drive a motorboat into a whale. Yeah, because that's a thing. So...
I want to be Jonah.
Yeah, you just have to watch this show. If you like the superhero flicks series, this is the one you ought to be watching. You have to be watching The Boys. Forget the Arrowverse, the CW-verse, whatever. It's like, that stuff is so low rent compared to The Boys, honestly. All the superhero action you want actually has interesting political commentary. And if you want to let it go over your head, go ahead and let it go over your head, because you'll stay for the decapitations. Highly recommend The Boys. Make sure you watch all of the first season first, because it would be really bizarre not to. And then pick up where we left off. An example, it's rated 8.7 on IMDb from viewers. That's 164,000 ratings, 8.7 out of 10. That's pretty hot. And so far, the second season is trending even higher. No surprise. Highly recommend The Boys. It's part of your Prime package. You already got it. You know you got it. You don't want that crappy Walmart deal. So The Boys is what you want.
Sounds cool.
It's awesome.
Don't they have an invisible dude? I'm trying to remember.
They have an invisible dude, and maybe something weird happens to him. I'll just say that. But thank you for the segue. There's also a film that the actual film I watched called The Invisible Man. No, not the classic 1933 horror film with Claude Rains. This is the pretty good 2020 version. This is The Invisible Man has not been done as often as Dracula and Frankenstein, but it's kind of pushing it. At the very start, let me just say, I think this is the second best version of The Invisible Man premise since the original. This is a really good film. It's also really different. This is the first movie that came out after Universal punted The Dark Universe, because they did a horrific job of it with The Mummy. They don't seem to understand how to do their own properties, which is really weird, but, you know. So it's not part of that universe. You know, Russell Crowe is not in the background somewhere, which he was going to be throughout the Dark Universe premise. So they just said, yeah, let's give this to somebody who's just going to make a movie and not worry about trying to set up an entire universe. Good job. It stars, Elizabeth Moss. So those of you who know Mad Men, you know who Elizabeth Moss is. Those of you who know The Handmaid's Tale, you know who Elizabeth Moss is. So excellent actress. She plays a young woman who is kind of the captive of an extremely abusive rich bastard. She figures out how to get away from him. She gets away from him. He decides he's going to chase her down, except sadly he winds up dead. So she knows that doesn't quite seem right, because he apparently killed herself, and he's an extremely narcissistic SOB. He would never do that. She knows that. He also happened to be working on, guess what? Invisibility. So the interesting part about this is it's not his story at all. It's her story about how she deals with the fact that he's coming after her, and he kind of wants to get back at her, and he does so in some rather creative ways. Not a big spoiler. Let's say that she gets framed for murder, and then she has to kind of get herself out of that situation, and at the same time solve the little problem of that she has this psychopath who's invisible who wants her dead. So yay. So it's very different from the sci-fi horror flicks that we usually see with The Invisible Man premise, like Hollow Man, which was pretty darn good, or Memoirs of an Invisible Man, which was a very iffy comedic take, which suffered a lot because it had the insufferable Chevy Chase being his insufferable self in it. He can be fun at times, but he wasn't in that. Back to The Invisible Man 2020. It's much more of a suspense revenge thriller than a horror sci-fi flick. So it has the element of that, but it's a completely different type of film. I wish they had just gone with the horror sci-fi aspect more than what they did. It changes the whole concept is of the original is that the man creates the formula, gives him the power to be invisible, but it also makes him a megalomaniac, insane person who wants to take over the world. In this case, the guy already was a megalomaniac who just wanted to go do whatever he wanted to do.
Save some time.
Yeah, it is well done. I did really enjoy it. I took a long time to watch it because, honestly, the trailers don't really do it justice. It's a better film. It has more tension than you get from the trailers. The effects are extremely well done, as in watching an invisible person do things. Like Elizabeth Moss or her stunt double, whoever, took a hell of a beating in a couple scenes where she's just thrown all over the place. And it's extremely well done, as in you can see where the person is grabbing her by the ankles, except there's no person there, that kind of stuff. So to throw her into a wall, maybe clarify that. Really good film. Takes some interesting twists. Can't say I didn't see them coming, but I enjoyed the ride anyway. Highly recommend The Invisible Man. It's just going to be a very different version of the story than you've ever seen before, which is okay. Absolutely okay.
And you know what? Absolutely okay is exactly what I thought of the last movie I was going to review.
Hit it.
I'm sorry. That's too good a segue to pass up.
Yeah, take it.
The last movie I saw is supposed to be the next big, greatest movie ever from Christopher Nolan called Tenet. And is it good? It's not bad. I mean, it didn't really start out all that great. As Todd can attest, because I texted him from my theater, don't panic. I was the only one in the theater at the time. it was 45 minutes to an hour before it made up its mind what it wanted to be. Then it almost started making sense, but a lot of it still doesn't. It kind of started as a spy film, moved to an art heist, then a romantic thing, then the Armageddon might happen, so we send in the lone agent. Yeah, again, like I mentioned earlier, it's not, the world's going to end, get everyone. No, it's more of a, the world's going to end, get Steve. You know, kind of a thing. It starts like this. There's an opera house rescue thing where some CIA guys are trying to extricate somebody from a Russian opera house. And our main character, who's a CIA guy, I think, played by John David Washington of Black Klansman fame, he's captured, he's tortured, has his teeth removed, he took a suicide pill, and he woke up in a hospital. Huh? That normally doesn't happen when you take a suicide pill. Anyway, he's outbriefed by a guy. That's going to be a recurring theme. Get used to it. Anyway, he's been recruited by something where your duty is now transcended national interest. We need you as part of Tenet, which is a code word with a linked finger gesture. It opens doors. Use it wisely. And quite frankly, it might have been alluded to later, but I don't recall it being used at any point. I was amused that he was given another suicide pill, which was interesting considering the first one did not work. He goes into a government building. We're not sure where this building is. It might still be in Russia. I don't think he ever makes it to the U.S. Anyway, he's briefed by a Russian woman who says they're trying to prevent World War III. Someone in the future is manufacturing stuff, which in this movie looks just like bullets, but maybe he's doing more stuff that we didn't get to see, but it's all stuff that runs backwards in time and we don't know how to make it ourselves. And to make it work, there's this thing she has where she puts two bullets on a table. Can you tell the difference between them? And he says, no. And she puts her hand over one and it flies into her hand. And he goes, okay, that's weird. She goes, do it with the other one. And he puts his hand over the bullet and it does nothing. And she says, you have to drop it first. So he picks it up and he drops it and it falls back into his hand. And he goes, what's the point of this? And, that's kind of what I was thinking while sitting in the theater going, well, what's the point in having it go backwards if you have to make it go forwards in the first place? When she says one of the best lines in time travel movie history, don't try to understand it. Which I think is a magnificent plot point and gets them away from having to explain anything else in the movie. So they need to find out where this ammo is coming from, and apparently it's India. So J.D. Washington and Robert Pattinson, because why not?
Exactly.
Decide that they must go find Sing now. This is like maybe half an hour in. Sing. That's the first name we've gotten in this movie. Just pointing that out. It'll come up again later. They need to find Sing. Sing is in the top of this tower in, somewhere in India. I mean, it's a building, but it's a skyscraper. So they go to the roof of the building next door and slingshot themselves up the side of the building. Okay. Thing is, they hit about halfway up and just run up the side of the building. How do they do this? Because there's no explanation that I could see that would give them the ability to just Spider-Man running up the side of a building. How did... That's my biggest flaw with this movie, was that one scene, because there was no explanation for it. Anyway,
they get
to the top, they find Sing. Oh, wait, it's not Sing who's the arms dealer for this stuff. It's his wife. Ha, ha, ha. She doesn't have a name either. So, what, 45 minutes in now, we figure out that we have to prevent World War III by finding out about these bullets. So to do so, you have to commit this art heist by crashing a plane. What the hell are we doing anymore? We go through that scene, and Kenneth Branagh is now here. Yay! And he's here to take everybody sailing. Anyway, the movie goes on. There's a cool heist scene with a fire truck, which I appreciate, although in the middle of it, there's a car going backwards, but it's going forwards, but it keeps going backwards. It's a time travel thing. And look, I'm a fan of Doctor Who. I have watched literally every episode, but this movie makes very little temporal sense. Professor Hulk, you remember all that crap he did in Avengers Endgame about time travel? His head would explode in this movie. I mean, there are some good ideas here, but it is way too convoluted. I think it's really just an excuse to do these really interesting special effects. Let's see. I did check this. It's an hour 40 in that we start talking about time travel and how quantum physics works. And I think they got it wrong because, like I said, I watched Doctor Who, and that's been around long enough that that's what we should be following, because it makes more sense than anything else. I mean, I used the concept of time moving backwards with a character as it moved forwards in a book I wrote, thank you, about 10 years ago. And I stopped doing it very quickly because it became messy. It's very messy. And time travel is always messy. But this clean up on aisle 6, please. I mean, it's almost disastrous. And if you're thinking this sounds really complicated and I might need to watch this movie at least twice for it to make sense, don't panic. You will, because a lot of this movie we do watch twice just from the other direction. Because plot. Oh, geez. Don't get me wrong, because I know I've complained about this movie since I pretty much started this review. It's not bad. It's just complicated and messy. And there's also one other thing that bugs me. And I know you're also wondering, how does this connect back to that first review you did for Who Am I? It's not the fight scenes. It's not. It's because our main character, John David Washington, does not have a name. Goes through the whole movie, seduces a woman. Hey, baby, how you doing? Oh, hi, what's your name? I don't have one. I can't see that working very well. I looked him up on IMDb. He is listed in IMDb's credits as the protagonist. Seriously. There's two other characters. Kenneth Branagh's character and Michael Caine, because it's a Christopher Nolan movie, therefore Michael Caine's in it.
There you go.
Their characters have last names. No one else does. And some of them you kind of go, is that a name or is that a nickname? You can't, because Wheeler, is that a name? I'm looking at these. Cat could be short for something. It could just be that she's a big... Anyway.
Could be.
I'm just saying, is it a good movie? Yeah, it's not bad. It's not the big, great, next greatest movie that we were expecting it to be. But And should you risk your life with COVID by putting on a mask and going to a theater like I did? No, don't do it. It's not worth it. Wait till it comes out on home. And, you know, unlike Who Am I, I'm pretty sure you'll be able to find this soon on, you know, what, Netflix, Disney Plus, DVD, something. Anyway.
The turnaround's happening sooner and sooner. Quick question. How would you compare it to Inception?
I think it made less sense. And Inception was weird enough as it is. Okay.
All right.
I think both of them have, I think the special effects in Inception were better because I absolutely loved the whole folding city thing.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to watch something that there is actually a movie that had the special effects of Inception and Tenet put together and done in a more comprehensive way that made sense, it's called Doctor Strange.
I was going to say Doctor Strange, yeah, with the folding cities.
Yeah, go watch that instead. It made more sense. Because, I mean, eventually you do get Tenet, but, you know, like, I texted Todd repeatedly. I don't know what the hell's going on in this movie.
Personally, I like movies like that. Unfortunately, it's going to be a long time before I watch it because theaters aren't open here. And once they first open, I ain't going anyway. Not for a good while. Idea. So yeah, hopefully we have a turnaround for this like Mulan is going to have, where you just wait a few months and boom, there it is. Ooh,
woo. New
catchphrase. So interesting take. It's odd. It's still odd that they went with a box office release for this for Tenet.
It really is. This would be great. It would be beneficial for it to be a home release. So you could watch it again and go, okay, what the hell just happened? Maybe there is an explanation for how they walked up the side of a building by slingshotting at it.
I mean, here's the box office numbers. Worldwide, 53 million so far, which
for Past this, Mutants.
Yeah, for this kind of a film, that's like a quarter of what it would have done at a minimum. So a really odd choice to go with that kind of a release. Anyway, I'm looking forward to it just to see, because I like movies like that. I was like, what's going on? We'll see.
It can be fun, but there's going to be a lot you're going to be frustrated with.
Going to be a while before I do that. Oh, show.
Yeah. You know, so again, we're going to end the show the way, same way we've ended the show for most of this year, which is still depressing.
Yeah.
But you know what? There's enough stuff for you to watch at home. So stay home and watch a movie.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed.
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
Darn, that's the end.